You know, my sister and I were talking, and I guess I'm pushing her to do more reminiscing. I've been doing that, I think, in part because of, you know, Dad's passing and just my age. And we were remembering a lot of our family, and especially how many times we all gathered in one house of great aunts, great uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers, my dad's cousins, my mother's cousins, how many times we gathered in those homes and we broke bread together. I think I've mentioned it before that my Aunt Bess, if she knew that we had gone to church on a Sunday, as we were driving through the little village of Rankintown on the way home, all the houses were right on the little street, she would stand right there with a tea towel, and she would be waving it to make sure that all the family members that had made the journey up to the Venetia Methodist Church would stop. And we would be piled up there, many of us, and we would have great times. Also, my sister and I were remembering that every year during our childhood, we had reunions, the Wardle reunion and the Spencer reunion. And again, we'd find a park, we'd find some place where we could all be together, and we would gather, and there would be food, and there would be fun, and if there was a creek nearby, we were all swimming. And it's just a great memory about how we unified as a family, particularly around meals. My dad had a cousin that was raised like a brother. His name was June. That was short for Junior, which was short for James. Everybody knew him as June. My mother was raised with a cousin as a member of their family, and her name was Evelyn. And June and Evelyn married, and my dad and mom married, and they were thick as thieves all of their lives. And at least once, sometimes twice a week, we would be at June and Evelyn's house, or they would be at our house. If we were at June and Evelyn's house, we were at their great big oak, old, worn table with other family members from the neighborhood coming in, and Evelyn would have made homemade bread, and there were usually scallions, fresh onions from the garden, and people would sit there drinking coffee, eating buttered bread and onions. If they were our house, we were on a big old red table, kind of a linoleum-looking table, and everybody would be there drinking coffee and usually eating either my mother's buns or her chocolate chip cookies. And I have memories of this, memories of gathering together, memories of gathering around meals. And even though we were very different in some ways, there was a sense that we were family and that we were one. Now, I'm bringing that up not only because I've been reminiscing about all this, but also because of a scripture. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 was talking at one point about gathering together, maintaining unity, and its relationship to the Lord's Supper. It's later in chapter 11 that he gives those famous words that you've probably heard if you've ever celebrated the Lord's Supper, where he said the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, it's earlier that Paul made a statement that really triggered my thinking about our family and gathering at tables with many members of our family and eating bread and enjoying fellowship. He was talking about division in the life of the church. And he was talking about how we all get to participate in the body of Jesus. And he made this comment, "Because there is one loaf, one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all share the same one loaf." Paul's basically saying there that because we all come together and celebrate the Lord's Supper, that as we eat of the one loaf together, the body of Christ, It draws us close and it makes us one. We are united. I think this is one of the reasons why Paul in Ephesians, he talks about maintain unity. I urge you to maintain unity. And Paul is saying, don't forget that everyone that shares the same bread with you, the same loaf, the same Eucharist, these folks are your family, they're their brother, and they're your sister. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. You know, as we've been doing these seminars and live streams, one of the things that's really grabbed me is the fact that people are dialing in at the same moment from all around the world. I did one of these the day before yesterday. I'll do another one tomorrow. And there were people from so many countries, not just Canada and the U.S., but from Spain and Belgium. There was folks from Poland and Hong Kong and Taiwan and Thailand and Indonesia. And I can go on and on. And what really touched me about that is that here we are in this one moment of time, somehow connected with one another. And that excited me. And then as I read this passage, I began to think about it on an even grander scale. Are you aware that while there are different denominations and different ways that people celebrate the Lord's Supper, people from nations all over this globe, Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, the many different stripes of Protestants, high church people, low church people, all of us, when we break that bread together, are saying we're family. We're one. We're united. Which it makes it all the more painful when we begin to divide, to exclude, to talk down on other people simply because they're not like us. There are people of many races and many tribes and many tongues and many branches of Christianity that gather at the table of the Lord and they break bread and they are our brothers and sisters. Regardless of where they live, regardless of the language they speak, regardless of their skin color. That's my brother. That's my sister. And I should not push them away, but I should open my arms and invite them in. You know, this is one of the things that really bothered large portions of the Christian community during World War II. Yeah, a lot of ethicists were dealing with the issue of what was called, you know, a necessary war. But one of the things that was really heartbreaking and staggering is that there were men who shared the same bread that were aligned against one another and taking one another's lives. And it did grieve a lot of people to consider the fact that Christians were killing Christians. Now, one of the things I want to emphasize is that division is always a strategy of the evil one. It's not a strategy of the Lord. The Lord loves to bring diversity together. There's unity. There's a union. There's a oneness that God wants. This is the reason that we get this picture of heaven with every tribe and every tongue. But there's something about evil and our proclivity that when things get tough, we begin to vilify others. Somehow we believe they're the problem. We don't look inside to check our own soul. It's their problem. They did it. And if only they weren't here, and if only they would straighten up, and if only they would go home, everything here would be fine. And you know, it's very easy to get caught in the propaganda of the vilification of a people group. Very, very easy. Because see, when people are hurting, all you need is someone to make them afraid, and then to tell them that their pain is the result of someone else, and you need to reject that someone else. I think it's important for us today to look back upon history at the times when insecure leaders, who in themselves were not centered in the love of Christ, began to divide in order that they could conquer, began to make a certain group of people, a certain religion, a certain race, the problem. And for whatever reason, this scripture that comes here is just very powerful for me to remember that those that break the bread of the Eucharist are my brothers and they are my sisters. And that if we eat the same bread, we are then one with them. Does that mean that people are perfect? Absolutely not. But it does mean that we're brothers and sisters, that we're on the same journey, seeking to walk the path of Jesus the way Jesus Christ walked that path. And that our job, when division does arise, is to do whatever we can to bring us back into unity. I was thinking about the story in the book of Acts where a division was rising up between the Hellenists and the Hebrew Christians. And it was over the whole issue of widows and apportionments of food. And what the leaders did is they began to assign very mature people to handle that issue rather than let division continue to reign. And that's part of, I think, what Paul is getting at, it, as when he talks about this issue of that when we participate in the same loaf, we who are many are one body. We're Christ's body. This Sunday, you may be participating in the Eucharist. If you do, would you remember this? I will. That as you partake, Christians around the globe, in large cathedrals and in little country churches and in some places hidden away because of persecution, they will also be participating in this one loaf. Remember them in prayer. Remember them as a brother and a sister. And bless them.